What if I told you that heartbreak registers in your brain the same way a fractured rib does? When Gloria lost Irv after 50 years of marriage, her family thought she developed dementia. She hadn't. Her brain was simply processing social loss as physical injury, because that's exactly what it is. We've spent centuries building societies around the myth of rational self-interest, assuming humans are fundamentally selfish creatures who occasionally cooperate when it benefits us. But neuroscience reveals something far more profound. Our brains didn't evolve for solitary survival. They evolved for connection. Social bonds aren't a pleasant addition to human life. They're the foundation. Understanding this rewires everything we thought we knew about motivation, happiness, and what it means to be human. When researchers mapped brain activity during rest in 1997, they expected silence. Instead, they discovered a default mode network, present even in two-day-old infants, that activates whenever we stop focusing on tasks. This hardwired system obsesses over one thing: social thinking. Between tasks, during pauses, while waiting, your brain reflexively ponders relationships, replays interactions, imagines social scenarios. We spend roughly 3 hours daily on social cognition, hitting Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour expertise threshold before age 10. Facebook users spend 56 billion minutes monthly on the platform, nearly matching the 84 billion minutes Americans spend on religious activities combined. We're not addicted to technology, we're addicted to each other. The traditional view that our prefrontal cortex evolved for abstract problem solving has it backward. When Robin Dunbar analyzed what predicts brain size across primates, group size emerged as the strongest factor. Our brains grew large to navigate complex social worlds, not to solve calculus problems. Public speaking terrifies us more than skydiving because social rejection activates the same neural circuitry as physical pain. This makes evolutionary sense. Human infants are born dangerously helpless, with oversized brains that must fit through the birth canal. Unlike foals that walk within hours, human children require years of complete dependence. Survival hinges entirely on maintaining caregiver commitment, making social connection physiological, not just psychological. fMRI studies using Cyberball, a ball-tossing game, revealed that excluded participants showed activation in the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, the same region processing physical pain. This wasn't metaphorical discomfort. Their brains registered social exclusion as genuine injury. Grief, romantic breakups, and harsh criticism all activated pain circuitry. Most remarkably, acetaminophen reduced social pain. Taking Tylenol before potentially hurtful social situations actually dulled the emotional sting. Social pain isn't a design flaw. It's an evolutionary alarm system, ensuring we maintain the connections our survival depends on. Money motivates us, right? Not quite. Brain scans during economic games revealed something unexpected. People experience greater neural reward from mutual cooperation than from maximizing personal profit. Even when earning less, the brain's reward centers lit up more intensely when both players cooperated. This extends to pure altruism. Daniel Batson's experiments offered participants an escape from watching someone receive painful shocks. Most fled, but when first induced to feel empathy, 91% chose to switch places with the victim. Their brains weren't calculating future benefits. They were responding to genuine care. Brain imaging revealed that giving money to charity activates reward systems more powerfully than receiving money. Even teenagers showed increased pleasure responses when donating to family members. The Dalai Lama suggests that the intelligent way to be selfish is helping others because generosity feels inherently good. We've built economic systems assuming humans are rational profit maximizers, but our neural architecture tells a different story. We're wired to find joy in connection, cooperation, and caring. Championship rock, paper, scissors requires mind reading, your brain's ability to model other minds. Show people geometric shapes moving around, and they instantly see intentions. A triangle chasing a circle, a square helping another. We project minds onto everything. For decades, researchers believed this theory of mind relied on general reasoning circuits. Brain imaging revealed something unexpected. Understanding others' thoughts activates an entirely separate network, including the dorsomedial prefrontal cortex and temporal parietal junction. More surprising, this mentalizing system is identical to the default network, the system active during rest. Evolution designed our brains to reset to social thinking during every mental break. But there's a second system. In the 1980s, researchers discovered mirror neurons in monkey brains that fired both when the monkey grabbed a peanut and when watching someone else grab one. These neurons simulate mental states rather than inferring them logically. When you watch someone reach for coffee, your own reaching neurons activate, creating automatic understanding through internal mimicry. True empathy requires three components: understanding others' thoughts, matching their emotions, and staying focused on their needs rather than your own discomfort. That last part proves surprisingly difficult. We often focus on alleviating our own unease rather than genuinely helping. This illuminates autism in unexpected ways. The intense world hypothesis proposes something counterintuitive. What if autistic people aren't insensitive to social information, but hypersensitive to it? Perhaps autistic children withdraw not from indifference, but from overwhelming intensity. Your sense of self isn't a stable internal essence. It's evolution's clever trick for social influence. The medial prefrontal cortex, active during self-reflection, occupies 1.2% of human brain volume versus 0.2 to 0.7% in other primates, making us hypersensitive to others' perceptions. When 13-year-olds were asked, "Are you good at sports?" they automatically considered what others thought, even unprompted. We discover who we are by watching ourselves reflected in others' eyes. College students cheated 71% of the time without mirrors present, but only 7% with mirrors. Simply seeing ourselves as others might triggers self-restraint. The Panopticon prison, where inmates never knew if guards watched, exploited this brilliantly. We police ourselves when we believe we're observed. Modern research confirms we're 30% more helpful with security cameras present and twice as likely to cheat in dim lighting. Your conscience isn't purely internal, it's internalized social observation. This mechanism enables unprecedented social cooperation, but reveals the boundary between self and society is remarkably porous. We've built a world for the wrong brain. Schools treat social urges as distractions. Workplaces rely on financial incentives that explain only 2% of happiness variation. Yet a friend you see regularly provides happiness equivalent to earning an extra $100,000 annually. Volunteering weekly equals the well-being boost of jumping from $20,000 to $75,000 salary. A century of designing institutions around individual gain has produced declining American well-being despite rising incomes. Understanding our social wiring opens radical possibilities. University fundraisers who spent 5 minutes meeting a scholarship recipient increased phone time 142% and donations 171%. Students forming social impressions of information consistently outperform those explicitly memorizing it. This social encoding advantage means we could transform education by aligning it with how brains actually work. The fundamental paradox: despite our rationality, we can't outthink basic social needs. Your brain isn't a computer that occasionally needs social input. It's a social organ that occasionally does other things. To build thriving schools, workplaces, and communities, we must stop fighting our nature and start designing for it.